Hey everyone, welcome back to this week's live Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clements. Chase Livingston, Jeff Vincent, both are gone this week, but it's finally happening. Carolyn is back from roaming around Europe, so it's really, really exciting. So yeah, Carolyn's back. How are you? What happened in a month? Like, sum it up in like one or two words.
Oh, it's so good to be back. I ate a lot of pizza. I went to the place where the sun doesn't go down. And I saw London for the first time.
See, that's the whole month right there. And like, so, you know, nothing big at all. And then filling in as our special guest this week, Douglas Hanna from over at help.com, which is an absolutely fantastic tool. If you haven't seen it yet, just launched a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, Douglas, welcome to the show. Tell everybody a little bit about what you do and what Help is.
Yeah, so I started help.com just a year ago tomorrow, actually. It's our 1 year anniversary. And we make customer service software, particularly live chat software. And before help.com, I was CEO of a web hosting company called The Small Orange, and I used to run customer service at HostGator before that.
Awesome. So you've been around the block a couple of times on this whole customer support thing.
Yeah, it's been my life for about 10 years. So.
Just 10 years, no biggie, you know. Just 10. Cool. So this week, what we're talking about is something that's a little bit different than what we normally talk about. Usually our shows are all about, you know, how to make the best support experience or what kind of email tools you should be using or how you should handle angry customers and things like this. This week, it's a little bit different. We're going to be talking about what kind of setup all of us have to do our best work in. You know, especially when you first get started or you're like me, you move into a new house or, again, like me and get relegated to, like, the guest room when a kid comes along, it can be a little overwhelming with all the choices that you've got as far as actually setting up some kind of work environment. You know, you can do standing desk or you can do a kitchen table or the couch or work from bed or, you know, any of those. You could be talking, you know, working remote spots like in a coffee shop or out on the back porch, or you could be heading into an office every day where you're sharing, you know, space. All the way down to like headphones. Are you doing headphones? Do you have like an 80s style boombox over on the right? Is that what helps you do the best work that you can possibly do? So this episode, we're just talking about all of our setups to give you a couple of ideas to maybe change yours up, or if you don't have one set yet, maybe you're in a brand new job, just a couple of ideas to help you kind of get set up in one. So Douglas, let's start with you first. You know, we got a little bit of a glimpse on the video part as far as, you know, walking through your office and all. So you're not remote. You head into an office every day. So what kind of setup do you have there as far as, like, you know, the place that you do your work in?
Yeah, so we are in our pre-renovation office, but it's pretty open right now. We have people in kind of a series of rooms, and I share a room with three other people, a pretty small room. And it's a desk with a monitor and a laptop stand, and that's about it. I don't usually listen to music throughout the day because I'm usually only at my desk for about 20-minute increments in between meetings and conversations and calls and things like that. So it's kind of a joke that, like, if we were out of space, probably they would sit someone at my desk because I'm never at it. So I'm pretty mobile, just always taking my laptop and my phone and going wherever there's space.
I love it. So yeah, since you're not really there at your desk for more than 20 minutes, I guess it doesn't matter if you've got a couple of people around you because you're just never there, right?
Yeah, we try and group people by function. So we have all of our engineers in one room plus some. We have all of our salespeople and our customer success people who are on the phone more often in another room. And then I share a room with our designer, our marketing person, and our office manager. So, like, most of us, like, I don't usually take phone calls from my desk, so most of us aren't on the phone at the same time. Obviously, the engineers aren't on the phone too much, so we found that grouping kind of helps people concentrate and work together in the best way without being too distracting.
Yeah, so with Carolyn, all right, so since you left the great state of Tennessee and moved out to San Francisco, you've got the fancy buffer office that you go into. So let's talk about that one first. When you head into work, what's it like? What's your setup there at Buffer HQ?
Okay, so we have a bunch of tables and adjustable height chairs. And I think that's kind of the key because we have, you know, Leo, who's like 6'4", maybe? And then I guess me, who's 5'5", and trying to think of who's the littlest person on the team. So we have a variety of heights, basically. And so I think that adjustable chair kind of makes all the difference because he can become Leo can be comfortable at a certain height, but also you can like bring it up a lot farther, and I can be comfortable at that same table. So that's the setup. We also have a lot of room per person. We have like one whole table per person. So that's kind of the way it is. I don't know. There's not too much. It's pretty minimalism. It's pretty minimalist, which Jeff complained about when he visited our office because he couldn't make a standing desk because there was nothing to put his laptop on. So not too exciting.
Yeah, but at least he could have like a whole table to himself, plenty of room to stretch out and everything else, and not be cramped in.
Yeah.
So what happens when you're not working in the office? Buffer's famous for remote working. You know, you just spent a month not working, obviously, but traveling around, and then you had the meetup and things like that. So when you're not in the office, what are you carrying with you to make sure that if you go to a coffee shop or something, you've got the best setup to do your best work?
Yeah, so I have an 11-inch MacBook Air, and that's all I carry with me when I go to the coffee shop. When I travel out of my home, so like for example, right now I'm in New York, and I am staying for a sort of an extended amount of time. So I did bring my keyboard, my little Bluetooth keyboard, and a mouse, and a little.
Something like a mini beanbag?
Yeah, it's like a mini beanbag because I know you're not supposed to rest your wrist on the table, but I do, and so this bone it starts gets like sore. So like I'm on my computer for a lot of hours in a row. So
See, this
yeah,
is
I
why
bring
people
all of
tune into our show. You know, you get tips
that.
about how not to get carpal tunnel when you're sitting at a
Yeah.
desk.
And like the old person mouse pad with like
I have the same thing.
yeah, it's great.
I
So
was gonna say, look, right there. It's
yeah.
really, really
Yes.
dirty, but it's
Yes,
there.
I know.
I have
I
the
just
same
caught
thing.
it in the light. I was like, ooh. It's probably sticky because I eat in front of my desk all the time too, which is bad. But yeah, so I bring all that stuff with me when I'm traveling for longer than like a week. But to the coffee shop, I just bring my computer and just trackpad it.
Yeah, so Douglas, kind of the same question over to you for remote, because you can't be trapped in the office all the time. I know you're a founder and everything, but surely, you know, going to conferences or out meeting clients or something like that, what's your like what things are you making sure you grab whenever you head out of the office and still have to work?
Yeah, so I travel a fair amount for work, and I have a 13-inch MacBook Pro, and I bring that to most places. And I'm a big iPhone email Slack user, so my team gets cryptic emails and Slacks from me all day because they're sent on the go, and I'm not usually on my computer typing them up. And I can't really work effectively in coffee shops; they're way too distracting for me. So I'm that guy who will hang out in my Airbnb or my hotel room and just work there. And as a result, I get to the conference like 10 minutes before I'm supposed to speak to it or run there like after. So for the most part, it's pretty rare to see me like out of my office or hotel room with my laptop open. Usually I'll just be on my phone if I'm on the go. And I never travel long enough. Like I don't think I've ever brought a laptop or a keyboard or a mouse or anything like that, even when I do longer trips. But I probably should. It'd probably be better for my ergonomic situation. But for most part, just put my laptop in my bag with my chargers and adapters and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, so nobody carrying like iPads or anything like that? I guess I'm weird in that, you know, sometimes I actually check cases and all for my iPad.
I have an iPad. I've had one like since they came out, and I think I'm on my third one, and I don't think I've like really ever used it. I don't have a good use case for it. I don't know why. It just has never fit into my computing life.
Oh, I
Yeah.
have to add one thing too.
Shoot.
I forgot I have a case on my laptop that has little feet that like flip down so that it lifts up the laptop by like a couple inches.
That's cool.
Oh,
Yeah,
fancy.
the angle of the keyboard is just a tiny bit gentler on your wrists. I'll send you that link for the show notes.
As far as my setup, I think we've talked on the show before. I got kicked out of my office. In my office, I had a standing desk that I built that was really nice, was able to stretch out a little bit, but it didn't take up the entire corner of the office that it was in, which is really fantastic. I get kicked out of there into this room, which is the guest room, and now the desk is one that I share with my wife. So it's literally when she's not working at it, which usually means she's asleep or out running errands or something like that, then I get to use it. Otherwise, I'm at the kitchen table. There's a patio table. There's a hammock outside, which is really nice to work from. And the couch. Yeah, I feel bad because I don't have like an official desk or anything like that. But again, that's one of the joys of working remote. You can just bounce around. And that's what I do throughout the day. More than an hour or so in one spot just kind of feels weird. So I get up and just move somewhere else, which is really cool. So Douglas, you mentioned you've been in this, industry for basically 10 years now. How has your setup changed through the years? Have you tried stuff that didn't work or, didn't try something and then added it in later down the road?
Yeah, so my last company, I had an office, which was nice. I had like a full like L desk and two huge monitors, and I could make all my calls from my office, which was nice, and I was pretty spoiled about this. and our first office for help.com was smaller than my personal office, and I shared it with three people. So adjustment from big company life to small company life. And that was nice. And a lot of the people, like my management team, who were on the phone a lot, because we had a lot of remote people. We had like 70 remote people at a small orange, which sounds like similar to Buffer, where we had a central office in Austin where a lot of leadership team was, but not 100% of the time. We were on the phone all day because almost everyone we worked with was not in the office. So that worked really well. At HostGator, I had an office called the Fishbowl because it was a converted conference room with a desk in it. And same thing. But it's been pretty similar. I used to have a nice home office, and I kind of got kicked out of it as well. my partner works from home, and so when I'm at home, it's like not my space anymore. But we are moving, and I'm in the quest, and this is actually very timely because I'm basically in the quest to design the perfect home office, and I'm like picking out my monitor and furniture, and I'm gonna put like a lock on the door, and no one's ever gonna see it.
Kayla, what about you? Because I know when you were at Emma, you were downtown Nashville, so had an office to go to every day. Was it the same thing?
Well.
Yeah, were you in the fishbowl?
We had one, yeah. I wasn't in with it.
So what changed? What did you change when you moved out and joined Buffer?
I had a great setup at Emma. They gift every teammate with a stand and a MacBook, a stand, a keyboard, a mouse, a mouse pad, and all that stuff. So I really valued that. So I just kept the setup the same. I kind of have had the same experience of you that you just mentioned, Chase. I used to be like really disciplined about getting up, going to my desk, having only using my computer at my desk. I was really sort of very structured about my day and where I used my work computer, and I separated my home time from my. Now I like sit at the kitchen table. I work in bed. I like sit anywhere. I can balance my computer on my lap and like type for 20 minutes. So now I popcorn around whatever place I'm in a lot. I'm also on the phone a lot because we are distributed, so we have meetings constantly over headphones. And so you learn to sort of like whisper into this. And like try to shield it from the noise. But I did try noise canceling headphones for meetings, and that is way too weird. You end up like, you can't really hear yourself, so you end up shouting and you can't hear anything around you. So it's amazing technology, and I use them constantly for planes and everything else, but not for meetings. So that's your insider tip.
And we do something similar. We let employees kind of design their own workstation effectively. So some people have standing desks, some people have sitting desks. We've started doing two monitors. So we have like a 30-inch monitor and then a 20-something inch monitor that most people have. I only have one. I was like last on the list to get the second monitor. And people like that. And we let people get like whatever computer and monitor. And we've started buying people headphones as well, because some people, particularly like engineers, want to be able to just tune things out. So we started buying people some nice noise-canceling headphones if they want them to.
Yeah, I had some nice headphones that I tried for a little while, but it came down to Slack doesn't have this problem, but if you use Campfire or anything, any chat tool that has sounds in it, you can have your music going and it's really nice, or if you're making a phone call and whatever you're doing elsewise, and somebody in the chat room decides to play like Kenny Loggins or something like that, it totally throws everything out, and the next thing you know, you're ripping your headphones out trying to figure out what's going on. So yeah, I don't do headphones much anymore. The exception being if I do have to do a call or something during the day. But that's when I make sure to like close out my chat just to be safe. Yeah, I really thought one of y'all would have like 80s style boombox or something like that. I'm kind of sad.
My new office, I'm going to have just speakers because it's kind of in a corner of the house. I won't bother with headphones probably. And I'm not a very loud music listener in general, so I'm definitely going to do some sort of speakers, but I don't think it'll be an 80s style boombox.
Yeah, I got a Jambox set up over on the side. The only thing is, I haven't figured out a way to control the volume of the Jambox versus the volume of whatever audio that I've got going on. So if I'm taking a call through my computer or something like that. So listeners, if anybody knows how I can take two different sources, like headphones and Jambox, and have them both work at the same time to the same computer but different volumes, that would be awesome. Surely there's something out there. I just haven't found it yet.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. All right. So, last question about all this. When your team hire, and we'll start with Carolyn on this. So, Carolyn, when you hire somebody new on to Buffer and they ask you for recommendations about a setup, what's your top two, top three things that you tell them to be cognizant of when they're, unpacking their new computer and all?
Top two or three things. Well, I'm a big believer in not working from your laptop when you're at your desk, because for one thing, it's closer, so it's like harder on your eyes. The second thing is that you tend to like do this like
Get a hunch.
hunchy like dinosaur thing over it, and especially because like if you're like trying to figure out a case and you're like this close to the computer, it's pretty rough on the back and the eyes and the all the things. So I really try and encourage people to get a separate keyboard. You don't need a fancy stand. My computer right now is sitting on a shoebox, and that's fine.
Yeah, I remember back in the day.
The
Remember like when you
stand
first moved out there and you
is
had like printer boxes and like a copier box or something? It was fantastic. It looked like the whole thing was just going to fall over at any moment.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that. I think if you can, if it balances, it's fine.
We have people doing that with monitors too, because we have some very tall people and they're like, we literally have like old programming books that
Oh
people are
yeah.
stacking their
Oh
monitors
yeah.
on.
That's perfect. That's perfect. I just don't think, and whatever it's on, as long as it's like a few feet away from you and like elevated, so it's at eye level or close. And the other thing I would think, I already said it, but I think the adjustable chair makes a big difference. And yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, so Douglas, same question over to you. You're hiring somebody new. What's your top two or three that you tell them to think about when they're setting up at the office?
So we have a page we send them that lists kind of our standard setup, and we let people do whatever they want, but probably like 7 out of 10 people are like, all right, I'll just take whatever you recommend. And we like have the recommended monitor, and we're big fans of the Wirecutter, which is just like a great review site. So like I feel like everything they've ever reviewed, because I just buy it. I'm like, of course I need the best photo printer for me. So we have a bunch of recommendations from that with their alternatives for like Mac versus PC. And now we've recently started letting people do standing desks. And we initially were like, we got standing desks for people, and they're like, well, I want a stool because I don't want to, because they're not the fancy like $1,000 adjustable ones. We do IKEA standing desks. And now everyone just sits on their stool at a higher desk. And I'm like, this defeats the purpose of a standing desk. And now we just have a higher desk that's more expensive and a stool that is like a little bit cheaper than our normal chair. So now we're going to add that to our standard disclaimer of if you're going to get a standing desk, actually plan on standing, or you might just be more interested in the actual like good chairs we buy for your normal height desk.
That's awesome.
One day I'm just going to take away all the stools and like put them in a closet and see what happens.
So you wanted standing desk. You got standing desk. Congratulations.
I don't think most people would like stand for more than probably a couple hours.
That's funny.
Oh, Yeah, I think mine is so the biggest thing, and I'm going to preface this with saying, find the setup that works for you, because what works for me doesn't work for some other people, and vice versa. So I think that's kind of the underlying disclaimer on everything we said on the show so far. But I think my biggest thing is you can never go wrong investing in a comfortable desk, whether it's standing, sitting, or whatnot, or get one of those adjustable ones that go up and down so you can figure out what you want to do throughout the day. Two, make sure you have some kind of music source, just because, especially for your remote working, it's just one of those where if it's dead quiet all day, it just gets creepy after a while. Because I'll be sitting at my desk, I'll be sitting at this one in this room, and it'd be dead quiet for an hour, and I'll look up kind of expecting some like creepy kid to be walking out of that closet, like straight up horror movie. So have some music, that works out well. Yeah, exactly. And third, don't skimp on the chairs. You know, just because it sounds so dumb, and you don't need one from like Herman Miller that's going to like launch an astronaut into space. Okay. You don't need that many options, but don't go down to Walmart and buy the cheap one that's down there. Get a good one that you're going to be able to sit in for a while and make sure. The best thing is to go somewhere that sells good office chairs, talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about, and be like, hey, I'm going to be in this for like 6-8 hours a day. So like, give me a good one.
And you can get used like Aeron chairs and stuff like that too if you want, for a lot cheaper than they cost new. We've done that too.
Yeah, Craigslist is your friend on these kind of things. I found that one out. Especially if you're in San Francisco. There's always a startup going out of business out there. So, I mean, just like raid their office.
It's also right. Useful to think about if you want to stand, but you only have to have the sort of space or the resources to get one good setup. Get a good setup for sitting, because you can hack standing more easily than you can hack sitting. And like, mm-hmm. sometimes I stand for meetings where I don't have to take notes, but for typing and for mouse usage and all that stuff, it's good to have the right ergonomic setup. But you can always like stand with a computer and have a 20-minute stand-up. Stand up!
You can always just, like, you know, throw a couple of printer boxes on top of each other. Right. Of programming.
Right. If you don't have to take notes especially, then all bets are off.
All right. So that's our tips and tricks. Let us know how you're doing it. Send us photos of your setup, or tweet at us photos of your setup, or just, you know, send us some emails about how you do it and that kind of stuff. Especially two things. I want to know if anybody out there knows about the volume thing for the two sources. That would be amazing. And second, there's got to be somebody that has an 80s style boombox setting on their desk. I got a feeling it's out there, and I want to see a picture of it. So if that's you, hit us up. We're at SupportOps on Twitter, or you can email us, supportops.co/contact. We'll get you over to there. That being said, I'm going to preface the next shout-out part with saying, I think this is the button that Jeff presses. I think. It's the best part of the week. Yes. It's this week's shout-outs. These are the things that are making us happy. So happy we want to shout them out from the rooftops and let you know you should be using, buying, or whatever verb you want to insert there. Carolyn, let's give you the pleasure of going first, since you have been gone for so long. In the last month, what's the best thing that you've got to shout out?
I've had so many. Okay. So super quick one that doesn't count. Remotive is, because I've shouted out in the past, is sort of a newsletter type community thing for remote people who answer a lot of these types of questions and have a lot of these types of discussions. So check that out if you're remote and if this sort of topic is interesting to you. Okay, so the real ones, I have three.
You're like that kid in class that's always overachieving. You know, like the teacher is like, research one person. You're like, well, I did three.
I've been gone so long.
It is. You got to fill it up.
Okay. So Apartment K was the hotel that we stayed at in Reykjavik in Iceland, and they were fantastic. So if Iceland is on your list, which I recommend it, Apartment K is a really fantastic place to stay. And they had washer, dryer in unit, and it was the same machine, which just absolutely blew my mind, because why aren't they all like that? Okay, that's number one. Number two and three are actually support related. So I was gone for like 2 months, and you know, a lot happens in like admin in 2 months, and I wasn't around for any of it. So my my credit card expired and I got a new one mailed to the wrong place, and I got a medical bill that I didn't pay because I wasn't home and all this stuff. So first shout out is to One Medical, because I called them today to be like, I'm so sorry, I have to pay a bill that's like 2 months late. And they were like, oh, no problem. We don't really believe in like sending people to collections for medical bills. Like, thanks for paying it. I was like,
nice.
They're amazing. So One Medical, I think I've shouted them out of the past. And I'm going to send you a screenshot for the show notes, but because my credit card expired, all my sites that automatically charge that credit card started to email me to update my billing information. And Sanebox just sent the absolute best one. It's so empathetic. It's so patient. It's like the CEO or something writing to me saying, I've had to replace my credit card in the past. I know what a pain in the butt it is. So no rush, but when you have a chance, like, also we've extended your subscription by 14 days. So you don't have a lapse of service, blah, blah, blah. So that was awesome as well. Sanebox, also that service, so good. I have a lot for your show notes today, but those are my three official ones.
See, I guess we're gonna have to do a show on the whole credit card thing, because this is the month where mine expires, so I'm getting all of those emails. And I think, okay, so by far the best one so far is USAA, because I use my bank's credit card to pay for a bank bill inception. Fantastic, fantastic email from them. The worst so far has been Netflix, because they put this big banner at the very top of every page yelling at you, hey, you need to update your credit card. And I want to be like, hey, it's 2 months out and I haven't got the new one yet. And you, it's just, it's, so that was the worst one. Maybe do a show on that. That could be cool.
That's a great idea.
All right, Douglas, what's your, what do you got to shout out?
So on that top of credit cards, I want to do an anti shout out, a shout down maybe.
Shout down.
To Bank of America. So we've had our card replaced like the third time in probably about 4 months. And I play these mind games with them, or they'll call me up and they'll be like, we need to replace your card. I'm like, what is the absolute latest date that we can do it? And they're like, well, there isn't really a date. I'm like, how about 2018? And they're like, well, that's too far away. I'm like, so there's a date here. And sometimes they just get annoyed and just cancel it. And that happened recently, and we had to go through all these updates. And Google Apps sent a very threatening email, like multiple threatening emails, and is very annoying. Things I actually like, though, the Wirecutter, I mentioned them earlier, and their sister site, The Sweet Home. So they provide like basically like the bottom line on reviews for everything from like cutting boards to vacuum cleaners to monitors to like everything else that you could ever want to buy. And they aggregate a bunch of resources, and they have like the high-end pick, the low-end pick, the budget pick. And I really like it. Like I'm a big consumer of reviews, and I trust their recommendations pretty much without even really reading into it. They did, I don't know if they led me astray necessarily, but I was looking for a new backpack and they recommended one and I didn't love it. And I returned it and I had a pretty good experience. And I have a new bag from Timbuktu, a great maker of backpacks based in San Francisco, so, and messenger bags mainly, but I like their backpack, and that one was awesome. And then at work, we use Mixpanel, and we've been using it more and more lately, and it's a great product for seeing how customers use our app, and our customer success team uses it a lot to see what people are doing and how it's going for them. And we love Mixpanel, and their service is very good, and they're very easy to work with.
Awesome. Now I feel bad, because both of you have been like, oh, well, this was awesome, and they were great, and so I got one. But it was one that kind of blew me out of the water, because I had to order some stickers, and I used Sticker Mule. And if you haven't used Sticker Mule and you just need stickers, great, great company. They do the coolest thing where, okay, so if I went to another sticker site, it's usually you upload the logo, and then you wait like 10 days, and you get the sticker shipped. With Sticker Mule, you upload it, they give you a proof that you can actually look at, and they've got this great little comment section at the bottom where you can go through and request changes or anything like that. So I had them tweak a couple of things right there on the comment thread. They have made the changes, sent me another proof, and then I approved it. Absolutely fantastic. All of it happened over the course of maybe 2-3 hours, and then they were shipped the next day. And probably the best thing about all of it, they straight up under-promised, over-delivered. Is that the right one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
that's
guess
the good version of that. Yeah, that's the good version, because you don't want the other one. They basically said, I'll get my stickers on Wednesday of this week, and I had them Thursday of last week. So basically 6 days ahead of when they said that they were going to hear. It was absolutely fantastic. Packaging was great. Shipping was great. Stickers, use them. Stickermule.com. That's what you want. Yeah, these sound like cheesy ads, but we're not really getting paid. So this is honestly what we think on all this. Future business model. Anyway, that's everything. We're going to have Carolyn's screenshots. We're going to have all the links, everything else in the show notes. They'll be up online tomorrow or Tuesday if you're listening to this on Tuesday. Supportops.co. We'll have all of that. Slight programming note, we are off next week. Carolyn got a 2-month vacation. I'm taking a 1-week vacation.
I wasn't on vacation. I was working.
Oh, well, I'm going to take a 1-week vacation and go to the beach for a while. So we're going to be off next week. But then we'll be back again the following week. Our full panel is going to be back for the first time in 2 months, which is just absolutely exciting. So make sure you tune in. 2 weeks from now, we'll all be back. So until we see you then, have an awesome week.